ZZ Top said they just got paid. I'm Dave Carney, WKTY Morning Show host, and I'm going to get you paid, too, because I'm bringing our sports betting insider, former UNLV Rebel quarterback John Denton, on the program. Johnny D., I want to get paid, man. The John Denton special has been coming in, and it's been coming in correct, man. We're hitting over 60% on the John Denton special, and we've got a separate free play for our listeners this morning. Not just a Thursday play, but a Tuesday play, too. Brother, where are you going to take us today? We got college hoops. I know you've got some bets there. You got some props. Where do we want to start?
Yeah, we're looking to get paid, too. It's a rare Tuesday edition of the JDS special.
Yes, but it is.
It's the best time of the year, as we talked about last week, right? I don't have enough TVs in the house. I don't have enough gadgets to
put these
screens on. So, we're loving this time. But the first game we'll play here is the first four play-in game. We'll go Indiana and Wyoming. I like Wyoming here +4. I've seen this Wyoming team a few times this year, and I've seen the Indiana team a few times. And Wyoming's not going to be fazed by this Big Ten school. They played Arizona, Stanford, Washington. They played a fairly decent schedule. They've got two guys on their team that are kind of unheard of in the basketball land. And I think it's obviously because they play at Wyoming and they play in the Mountain West, but Graham Ek, 19 points, 9 rebounds a game, and they've got a 6'7", 6'8 point guard named Hunter Maldonado, who, when you watch these games, if he gets the advantage in the size, their offensive switches to him going down and just posting up players, getting buckets. So, again, unfazed by Big Ten school, 9-4 against the spread on the road. I think Indiana's a little overpriced here. I'll take Wyoming +4 in that first playoff game for the right to play St.
Wow.
Mary's.
Okay, you're going out on a flyer here. I'll lend our listeners' ears toward that. But Indiana, man, I watched them in the Big Ten tournament, and they beat Illinois. Trace Jackson Davis, this guy's a superstar. He could be a lot for Wyoming to handle.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt they wouldn't be in this situation if they didn't have if they didn't have the horses to run. And again, I just look at it as they have some offensive struggles over the course of the last 12 to 15 games Again, Wyoming plays a pretty good lockdown defense and, a little bit of underrated kind of underdog mentality for their coach. I just like Wyoming +4 here.
Well, it's a good look for the Mountain West Conference. John Denton played his college football at UNLV. That's when it was, I think, the WAC conference, but Wyoming part of the Mountain West. So I assume, and I didn't remember to actually check in, Wyoming won the Mountain West tournament. Is that why I'm seeing them here against Indiana?
No, Boise State won the tournament. The Mountain West Conference got four teams this year, so they got three at-large bids. So they got Colorado State, Wyoming.
Oh, good call.
The other one? They got somebody else as well. So they've got. I mean, it was a decent year for the Mountain West Conference, and 25-8 is not a record to slouch out. And again, when you're playing four other conference or NCAA tournament teams on a regular rotation, I think you're kind of tested a little bit too.
Maybe not as much as the Big Ten,
but again, I like the situation where it's on a neutral court, play-in game, one game shot. Here we go. Give me Wyoming +4.
Yeah, the only reason I'm hesitant myself with Indiana, I watched Trace Jackson Davis, I mean, just dominate Kofi Coburn, who's 7'2 and about 400 pounds bigger than Shaq was with the Lakers, and it just opened my eyes. However, Indiana, when they have lost this year, they have lost close. So the spread here isn't too far outside of the realm of possibilities. And Wyoming, like you've mentioned, good record this year. I've seen them play a couple of times, but because they play so damn late for us here in the Central Time Zone, I've usually got a hard time watching them. But okay, Wyoming +4 versus Indiana. This is the first two of the first four play-in games we've got tipping off today. Tomorrow there'll be a couple of more games. What else? Do we have another play for today then?
Yeah. So we've got two more plays for today. So we're going to take the second play-in game tonight for the right to play Kansas, which is Texas A&M Corpus Christi and Texas Southern. So Texas Southern, I think, is a short 3.5-point favorite. Both these teams are streaking into the play-in game here, which is not normal for these teams to get in here. They have to be streaking at some point. But
right.
I think Corpus Christi is a little bit hotter right now, 10-3 against the spread the last 13. But they're also more dialed in on the defense. And when you have a short spread like 2.5, 3.5, chances are you're going to come down to a foul situation or a fouling situation towards the end of the game. And I'm siding with the team that shoots 75% free throws as opposed to 60. I think it's 64%. And they're also 17th in the country. So 17th in the country, Corpus Christi, at forced turnovers. They're getting 5 to 6 extra possessions per game.
That's big.
Against their opponents all year. So with the short line, you know, value possessions on each side, give me the better defense and a team with better free throw shooters. So Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, +3.5 tonight in the second play-in game.
All right, I like that one a lot. The turnover difference that you just outlined there, John, is one of those things in the football, you know, betting world. It's even more impactful. But in a basketball game, a college basketball game, when you're talking 4, 5, 6 more possessions during a college basketball game, which are markedly fewer possessions than an NBA game, you're talking about some significant swings there. That could be anywhere from 10 to 12, even 16 points, depending on how that works out. So I like that play quite a bit. You know, Texas has had a really, really good year. The state of Texas, for what it's worth, has had a really, really good year in basketball. Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, Texas A&M. We're talking Texas Southern, of course, Texas, where Chris Beard is now at. These teams have all been really good this season, so I'm kind of interested to see these two squads battle it out tonight.
And I think I heard, and I might be wrong, but I'll have to double check, but I think one of the guys I followed on Twitter said that if these teams win these playoff game or these play-in games, there's only been one time since this has happened is that they don't go on and win a second game. Right, so I think it's 1 year that these teams don't go on and win a second year. Now, obviously, these two teams are 16 seeds, and they're going up against Kansas in the next round. Those aren't going to follow in the winner bracket here. But again, Wyoming plus they get past Indiana, there's a chance that they go up against St. Mary's. Right, that's a really good matchup for those guys, and it's a good matchup for Indiana as well. But it's a matter of the luck of the draw at this point, right?
Yeah, it's the luck of the draw. And the draw, John, is something that can really make or break your entire March season. I want to get into a couple of questions I've got about the draws for some teams. But those are a couple of plays for tonight's games. Now, you mentioned that you might have another, even a couple of prop bets. How are those working their way into your betting angles?
Yeah, so I've got two prop bets, but I've got one more bet. I'm playing on the NIT tonight. So
oh, that's the right. NIT. The NIT tips off tonight, too. I like it.
Yeah, again, and this is where you kind of get some of those same scenarios of, matchups and quick turnarounds and more of a Ken Pom or an efficiency rating for the line. And I'm going to Richmond, Virginia here. We're going to go to the VCU Rams hosting the Princeton Tigers.
Ooh.
VCU
Ooh.
Is a short 6.5-point favorite. Now, again, this isn't where VCU hoped to be. They just got beaten, I think, last Friday by their in-city rival, the Richmond Spiders, to have their automatic bid shot. But Princeton is kind of in the same boat and even probably even more off an emotional roller coaster in a short turnaround situation than VCU is. And Princeton lost, I think, Sunday to Yale in a tight game where they had the ball, the last possession, the guy drove the lane, couldn't get a shot off. So it ended up being not even an attempt to win or to tie the game. So I think from an emotional letdown standpoint and a tight turnaround, VCU has one of the best defenses in the country, and a high turnover rate in this game will be a super factor. So I don't think 6.5 is high enough number here for a quick turnaround. Princeton just played 48 hours ago.
Right, right.
Emotional letdown, and you're talking about probably a 70 point difference in the BPI ratings, which is the efficiency and power rating.
Yeah.
So give me VCU -6.5.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too. I mean, Princeton has had some success and history of success in the Ivy League, of course, and they've made a couple of NCAA tournaments. I forget the name of their old-time coach who ran the Princeton offense and did it so well. It was a real hard offense. What was his name again?
Carrill.
That's what it was. This guy was a genius, and you want to talk about short white guys making backdoor cuts and a whole bunch of great layups. I mean, that was Princeton, man. And there have been occasions, I thought during the pandemic year particularly, even though the Ivy League shut down first, there have been occasions in which I thought the Ivy League, because of the age of their players, like the relative age of their players, can give them a leg up on some of the other teams. But I agree with you here. And VCU, look, this is not a terrible squad. They just had a really awkward year. Richmond getting them like they did, yeah, that's definitely going to hurt. But I think this is way too low of a number for VCU. I think they win by 12, 13 points in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm playing two props that I already played.
Okay.
So I'm playing two props for total of the tournament, right, overall in the tournament. So I'm taking Arizona over 2.5 wins. That's for -110. And then I'm taking Kentucky over minus 2.5 wins. So they technically both have to reach the Sweet 16 for me to get paid, which I kind of like those odds. And when I'm getting just the regular standard sportsbook juice, I'll take that 110 all day.
You know, and that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. John Denton, our sports betting insider, joining the program with a free play, actually a slate of free plays that you can make, the John Denton special. John, the Arizona Wildcats, who you've gotten your prop bet here, seem to me to have gotten the luckiest draw of all of these teams, especially top teams. The way that the bracket sets up for them, and I know Gonzaga's out there, but the way that the bracket sets up for them, I think Arizona's got the clearest path towards the Final Four and the national championship. You know, why do you think Arizona was so blessed with the kind of bracket that they were blessed with? Is this something that just they lucked into? I mean, how do you think that Arizona got to where they got? Because this looks like the most favorable spot they could be in.
Well, I think it comes down to them being like technically the overall number one seed. Those usually do get the easiest brackets, in my opinion. Those that's usually where Duke used to fall into, right, and all this kind of stuff. And so I think it's that. But, you know, also I think Kansas has the easiest route to the Final Four, to the championship round or the Final Four, in my opinion, just from some of the – I don't have the bracket up, but I don't even have.
Well, I'm looking at Kansas having to play against teams like Iowa, the Hawkeyes, who apparently haven't decided to stop shooting three-pointers and making them yet, right? You've got, you know, teams like Auburn in Kansas's in Kansas's bracket. I just thought the Arizona, you know, I'm looking at Houston, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio State, Villanova. You know, I guess those all could be potential, you know, upsets there for Arizona, but yeah, I don't know. The South bracket for me just looked like the easiest spot, but maybe that will not prove out to be true. Last year, I had Illinois going all the way to the Final Four, and that didn't work out at all.
Well, I think from, like I said, from Kansas's standpoint, when you're talking about Iowa and all the Iowa State and all this stuff, I think Iowa State's in their bracket.
It is,
but
yeah,
Auburn,
yeah.
These guys are heavily offensive-minded teams. You know, Iowa's a couple three-point, I mean, a bank three-pointer away from maybe not even getting into the tournament, maybe being a bubble team. So, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You know,
yeah. All right.
It's that public perception of, hey, they won the Big Ten, right? They're getting a little bit of public favor.
Yeah.
People are going to run because they like the offense. Well, you know, they're a half away from being you know, a 10-point loser in the first round. So.
Okay, so that's fair. But John Denton, our sports betting insider, we're looking at things from a Big Ten rosy glasses perspective, and I'm seeing Iowa. I just got enthralled with Iowa, the Hawkeyes, over the weekend in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, 112 points against Northwestern, and Keegan Murray, man, this kid is going to be a superstar in the NBA. I mean, just the way that he runs the court and can shoot is really something to behold. You know, really quick, Gonzaga out there on the West, and I made a mistake. I thought Gonzaga was Arizona's side of the bracket. That was Villanova I was thinking about. You know, Gonzaga's side of the bracket has Duke. It's got Michigan State. You've got Texas Tech, the Red Raiders. You've got Alabama, the Crimson Tide, who are a really surprisingly good team for many. Arkansas from the SEC. Memphis, who had been on an absolute tear. And like you mentioned, the Boise State Broncos, they're a number 8 seed. They're actually going to open up against Memphis. See, I look at Gonzaga's side of the bracket, John, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of potential teams that could knock them out. I know that Gonzaga is good, and they play a tough non-conference schedule. But when they play the West Coast Conference schedule, it just, I don't know. It doesn't seem to give them any really true run. St. Mary's has been, I guess, a good team here. But what are your thoughts about Gonzaga? Chet Holmgren's a kid I watched play in high school. I mean, I still weigh more than this dude, and I weigh 155 pounds. I'm 5'10", you know, and he just is very slight. But do you think Gonzaga, based on that West bracket and some of the teams I just mentioned, do you think they've got a real true shot to go to the Final Four, maybe the national championship, as most of the betting experts are predicting they could do and fairly easily?
Yeah, I think they've got one of the better teams in the field, you know, top four, top five teams. But again, it all comes down to matchups, right? When you get into that Elite Eight and that Final Four, or that, you know, those matchups, right? You're talking about teams like Michigan State, Texas Tech, right? An Arkansas team. These teams are very physical, right? And that's the number one Achilles heel when you look at Gonzaga's losses the last few years, right? As they match up against a team that just out physical, out hustles, you know, just does more dirty work than Gonzaga. Gonzaga's more of that finesse team, right?
They seem to be.
You get that. Yeah, you get them a matchup against Duke now. Now, Duke's another one of those kind of finesse teams as well. And in my opinion, that's just the way I see it from an eyeball standpoint. And they have a favorable matchup in that position, too. But when you go up against a Texas Tech that gets, you know, puts their nose right in their chest, you know, for all 40 minutes, right, it becomes a little uncomfortable for some of those guys. And that's where they start getting out of their they start breaking out of their shell a little bit and start doing things that are uncharacteristic for Gonzaga teams.
Yeah, no doubt. John Denton, Sports Betting Insider, giving us an early John Denton special. We'll have another one for you on Thursday. And another reminder, sign up with the official sports betting partner of the program. It's BetUS.com. Use the promo code WKTY and snag yourself a free satchel of money. 125% of your initial deposit will be bonus to you in free play money. John, one more question for you on the March tournament. You know, I'm looking at a couple of teams that I think could actually make noise. They're low seeds, but I think they could make noise. One of them will actually be playing in a play-in game tomorrow, Rutgers. Look, Rutgers has had some of the best quad one wins in the country this season. They have also suffered some of the worst losses a quad one favorite team could ever suffer. You know, Ron Harper Jr., the famed Chicago Bull and Los Angeles Clipper, Cleveland Cavaliers son, has been really good in spaces. They've got a few other players, John, for Rutgers that are really, really good. And like I say, they've got some of the best quad one wins in the country. Their losses can sometimes be downright inexplicable. Now, tomorrow, they'll be tipping off against Notre Dame for the right to play against Alabama, who is a number six seed. You know, if a team like Rutgers, or even let's say a team like Cal State Fullerton, who plays Duke to start this thing off, a team like, oh, I don't know, Iowa State playing LSU, you know, would one of those teams making it to the Sweet 16 surprise you? I mean, we always seem to see some sort of Cinderella. We've gotten less and less Cinderella teams as, you know, the one and done, you know, era of basketball is sort of taken over. But do you expect to see like a team like one of those? It doesn't have to be one of those teams, you know, make a run to the Sweet 16 this year. And if so, I mean, who are you kind of thinking might be that squad?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a couple, and I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee showed me a lot down the stretch.
Yeah.
Tennessee showed me a lot down the stretch. You know, actually, I'm also looking at too is making a little run. And again, when you're a top, I think they were top five, top 10 team at the beginning of the year. They have the talent. Is Michigan, right? Taking a look, and they're playing Colorado State.
Yeah,
yeah, they're playing Colorado State. And I like Michigan against Colorado State in that game too. I just think when you're talking about the level of, again, this is complete opposite of what that Indiana and that Wyoming matchup for me is looking like, because I definitely think Michigan has the horses to outrun Colorado State just from they can match the buckets, they can match the 2 points. But Michigan's got big boys. They've got great inside guy. I think it's Hunter Dickinson. I think he's 7-footer. I mean, he gets them 2-point buckets like there's nothing. And when you have a good big and a good point guard, or a good guard that can score like Michigan does, that's a good combo. That's one of the combos that usually gets you far in these tournaments, is having a good inside, a good outside presence. I like Michigan. I like Tennessee. Unfortunately, they might match up in that second round if they do get past the first round. But I'm also looking at Vermont, right? Vermont's a team that is sneaky good. When you talk about 2-point field goals, efficiency, 3-point field goals, I mean, very little turnovers. You know, Arkansas is going to have their hands full. And you look at the next round matchup with Connecticut and New Mexico. I think it's New Mexico State. Yeah, Connecticut, New Mexico State. I mean, that's a very favorable Sweet 16 run for Vermont right there, too.
You know, it could be. And Vermont's a number 13 seed. You know, John, another number 13 seed that I want to go ahead and just ask your opinion about, because they have been brought up to my attention as one of the hottest teams in Division I, South Dakota State. Now, they're playing against Providence, number 4 out of the Big East. Providence has had some really good wins this season. I've watched a few of their games. They're a good team. But South Dakota State, I don't think they've lost in like a month and a half or something.
Yeah, so I think this is one of those I think this is the 4-13 game. Is that right?
4-13 in the Midwest, yeah.
Yeah, so what you're looking at is that you have, for, I think it's not very often do you have this type of spread, this type of, Matt Eumanns, our guy from the RJ.
Sure.
Yeah, on Twitter, he said that this is this short spread in this game, I think it's 2, is the lowest it's ever been between a 4 and a 13.
No kidding.
And the last 3 or 4 that have been comparable have been outright upsets by the 13 seed. So this is another one, right? South Dakota State, very sneaky good shooting team, very good free throw shooting team, don't turn the ball over, great guard play. Again, I like that play too. I have them in my bracket upset in Providence in the first round as well. I mean, when you're getting plus two from a 13 seed, I think the book's telling you something there.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to let you know that the value on Providence isn't there, and they're attempting to scare you away from taking South Dakota State, because again, you're looking at a team that for the most part is unknown. But John, when I was being told about South Dakota State on the program yesterday by Northern State Wolves head coach Mike Schmidt, I wrote it down in my notes to ask you about it. So you would say that for me personally, Uncle Dave, that if I made a play, South Dakota State, to cover that spread and move on the official sports betting partner of the show, BetUS, that would be okay by you?
Okay by me, okay. Even with a little bit of sprinkle on that money line, too.
Okay.
Might as well.
Okay.
If you're going to get plus 130, 140, you might as well take the – if you like him at plus two – and, they're the better free throw shooting team, better sound fundamental team.
Yeah.
Even though Providence is a dog, man, Providence is a hungry. I mean, they're a good squad. But, again, I would play the money line as well.
Yeah, I like that. The Friars, they've had some good wins this season. I've watched a couple of their games in the Big East, and they've been good. But South Dakota State, yeah. If we're looking at a really, really hot squad in one of these spots, and the betting numbers are telling us what they're telling us, I'll throw a couple of bucks on it. Maybe not a full two-unit play, but maybe a half a unit just for grins and giggles. John Denton is our sports betting insider, joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays. JD, before I let you go this morning, and thank you so much for giving us so much good stuff here with respect to the start of the NCAA tournament and the NIT tournament, which tips off tonight too. I just want to get your general takeaway from the first day of legal tampering in the NFL yesterday. When I see things happen like yesterday, Teddy Bridgewater getting $10 million, John, you know, my heart breaks just a little. I'm like, what would John be thinking if he was still 26 years old and hanging around the NFL today? The cash they are giving these cats is just ridiculous. The money is popping. And yesterday, we saw all sorts of money be given away. The Jags gave away $250 million to free agents. We see the Packers make some decent moves. They re-signed Devondre Campbell, bring back Preston Smith on a four-year deal. Mitch Trubisky, another guy I'm looking at and thinking, good Lord, John would just love this money. He's going to Pittsburgh on a two-year deal. John, you know, those are just a couple of the things that transpired yesterday. What was your overall takeaway from the first day of legal tampering in the NFL?
Yeah, there was a frenzy of stuff going on. It was kind of the ESPN little notification thing was going off on the phone all day yesterday. So I had to turn it off a little bit. But I, with all the deals going on, listen, there were some teams that won. There were some teams that didn't come out very well, or teams that haven't done anything, like the Raiders. You know, when you're talking about the AFC West, I think the Chargers have positioned themselves to make one heck of a run next year.
I like Khalil Mack coming over. I really like that move.
J.C. Jackson got signed yesterday as well. I mean, he got a boatload of money, too. He got 80-something million. So you got a very stout defense with Bosa, Khalil Mack, and then Herbert's still on that rookie deal now. So GM Telesco is going all in. And we've seen this happen with, you know, multiple teams in the besides the Tom Brady teams that have won the Super Bowls. But quarterbacks that are on their, you know, their young contract being able to put some of that resources towards the team and having, you know, better outcomes. So I think that's what's trying to happen in San Diego.
Los Angeles,
in LA. But there's a shortage on QB1s in this league, that's for sure. When you talk about Trubisky going down there for that kind of money, you know, personally, I would have stayed the status quo and kind of waited for Kenny Pickett to fall in my lap and kind of just, hey, bit the bullet and rolled that way. But I just subscribed to the TB12 method this morning after I saw all these guys.
I like it. You're ready for it. You're ready for a comeback. You're ready. Come on, man. You know you could still do it.
Oh, man. That'd be something we'd have to film, though. We'd have to get it on film and do a documentary, because we'd have to make money off of it somehow if I get cut.
What are you talking about? We're not thinking anything in the, you know, the new USFL or the XFL. I'll never forget Jim Fossil was asking you once, we were hanging out at the team facility, and he's like, so, can you still play? And you're like, yeah, maybe for 5 minutes.
No, I definitely would give it a shot. You know, it would take a good 6 months of some rigorous training. But
it would.
Hey, Vegas has got the new indoor football league team now. I think it's the Nighthawks or something
really?
Like that. Is what they're.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so there's a team out there. So
where are they going to play? Orleans, or where are they going to play at?
The new Dollar Loan Center.
Oh, out in Henderson. Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thinking about that makes me think that, who knows, maybe we need to make a couple of phone calls out there. I know a couple of guys. You might know a couple of guys.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Never know. Hey, stranger things have happened. I told our listeners this morning, last 2 years, I've become nonplussed by every and anything. Everything's on the table at this point in the world's history. John, really appreciate your stuff for us this morning. We've got three plays for you. The John Denton Special will be online at 1 p.m. We've got Indiana, Wyoming, taking Wyoming plus four, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi plus 3.5 against Texas Southern. We got VCU minus 6.5 against Princeton, and then two prop bets, Arizona and Kentucky. Both need more than 2.5 wins, need to reach the Sweet 16. John's got two prop bets there, too. I'll break this out, and I'll include audio this afternoon, WKTYsports.com. JD, until Thursday morning, man, have a great rest of your day and a nice weekend. Enjoy some of that college hoops action coming up this evening.
Sounds great. Talk to you guys Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. John Denton, our sports betting insider, can also be followed on Twitter, which I would recommend. We made him get a Twitter account. Now he's just got to use it. At Johnny_Utah. That's JONNY_YUTAH. All right, guys and gals, we are up against it just a bit. Brad Williams is filling in for the rest of this week for our friend Scott Robert Shaw in the WIZM newsroom. The Stone Distribution talk and text line still remains wide open. Lots more messages coming into the program at 608-796-2558. Sign up to win Burgers and Brews, Black Oak Grill and Saloon in Holman. Click Win Stuff on WKTYsports.com. And then, as we begin to get ready for Major League Baseball, you know that you've won some opening day tickets if your name's Porkchop or Al or Matty Ice. We've got another shot for you to win opening day tickets the 31st of this month at the Flipside. I'll give you details as we approach. But if you want to buy yourself a ticket aboard party buses to go watch the Milwaukee Brewers, they are up and they are ready for you to buy now at RadioStuffStore.com. So go online, RadioStuffStore.com, buy yourself a ticket aboard the Brewers bus trips. Go to our website, WKTYsports.com, and register for Burgers and Brews to the Black Oak Grill and Saloon in Holman. Stay tuned. Back in just a few. Here's Brad Williams.
Because there's more to life.